on, everyone? It's good to see all you guys. Wow, getting a little nostalgic here, seeing everybody. Hey, thanks back there. I see those troublemakers back in the back row. All right, well, hey, if you would, guys, while I kind of get myself to the right scripture here, go and say hi to somebody and give them a hug. I know there's a lot of people here maybe you haven't seen for a while, but and we used to do that during praise and worship back in the day. So go say hi to somebody you haven't seen for a while. Give them a hug.
Yeah.
Love you.
All righty.
Well, it's good to see all you here. Like I said, we'll go ahead and start in scripture today. So this is from the Gospel of John, third chapter.
Wait, you told me Luke.
Hey, keep. We're not to you yet. You trying to steal my show up here? Yeah. Just be patient, Aunt Deb.
Okay.
I'll get to you. All right, I will. All right. So this is coming from John, the third chapter, 16th verse. I'm sure we're all very aware of this verse, but I wanted to take a little closer look at it if we could. So, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Wow. You know, I hadn't looked at that verse for a while, and for whatever reason, the Lord spoke to my heart to read it again. And I have, all right, so I reread that, and you know, out of all the times I've heard that verse growing up from, you know, from preachers, from anywhere, it's a very, very well-known verse. I never realized that was Jesus talking when he said that. So Jesus was speaking in regard to himself. He was actually speaking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews at the time. He was a Sanhedrin. And he came to Jesus in the night. Not sure why he came in the night, but I probably was worried about his reputation. But he came to Jesus in the night and he told him, "Teacher, for I know that you are of God, because if you were not, you couldn't do these things." And just to sum up the leading verses leading up to that, I mean, Jesus was just trying to explain to Nicodemus in any way he could the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus just didn't get it. He just didn't get it. But in this, Jesus is talking. He was proclaiming what he came to do. And for whatever reason, that resonated with me as more powerful than I had ever experienced that verse. Just like that was Jesus proclaiming what he was here to do. He was here to so love the world and give himself up so that we could be in eternity with him. Wow. I mean, that I just don't know what to do with a love like that. That's intense, you know. It's easy to get distracted by what's going on around us, but like when I really focused into that verse, it really, really spoke to me. So I challenge you guys, those verses that are longstanding verses that are staples for you, take a different look and a different perspective and take a look. So lately I've been dealing with this concept of love. You know, I have children with my lovely wife Natalia, four of which are with my parents in Florida right now. And you know, it gets a bit grueling having that many people in a tight space, right? So sometimes it doesn't feel much like love. Sometimes it just feels like survival. But I had come up with a recent new kind of policy, and I don't have good adherence yet, but you know, I think we run into a lot of friction in our house about that we should all be grateful of one another. And I realized, yeah, that's true, but not realistic. So I said, okay, so let's lower the bar a bit, and let's say I don't really need you to be grateful. I just not hateful. And you know, it's amazing how easily we default to hate. But then when we take a pause, you know, Brother Oscar always used to say, you know, what your natural mind would tell you is a lot of times the opposite of what the Spirit would have you do. And I haven't found much more truer wisdom than that in my life. So I have had the opportunity over the last, I'd say 6 months or so, to spend a lot of time with my Aunt Jewel and Uncle Jeff. I'm a remote worker. I do nerdy computer stuff. I'm completely remote, so I set up shop at their house because my house is, as I said, a little chaotic. And you know, back in October, and I think this is so cute that they still do this, Jewel and Jeff went on an anniversary trip just to get away with one another for a week, for a weekend maybe a little longer. Actually, I think it was a week. I had noticed Uncle Jeff feeling a little under the weather before they went, but I thought he would just shake it. And you know, he had like a little, what seemed to me, an upper respiratory condition, just something that I thought would come and go. And well, a few weeks went by. Actually, they got back from their trip, and Aunt Jewel looked at him and said, "Hey, Jeff, you're not right. You need to go. You need to go get an X-ray. Something's off with you." And she was definitely right. So a couple admissions, readmissions to the hospital later, he had a generic diagnosis of pneumonia. We weren't clear as to what the root cause was. They were trying to get to the bottom of that. You know, and me and Uncle Jeff, we talk a lot. He was and always will be a tutor and a teacher. He volunteered his time for so many years to the, thank you, appreciate you. He volunteered his time a lot to the students of Raymond Walters UC and helped the students get through their math troubles. You know, so, you know, he had just decided to take a course in physics, so we were talking a lot, and you know, just the amount of knowledge and wisdom and clarity that he had, you know, it was just amazing. And you know, every once in a while we get into talking about God, and you know, one of the last times that we spoke prior to Jeff's stroke, Jeff told me, you know, I think I was overcomplicating things, and when you're you know, analytically minded, that can be a trap sometimes. And Uncle Jeff, I think, realized that I was doing that. He said, and then he reminded me, well, what was the one commandment that Jesus told us to do? And well, it was love. Love sums up all others. And that stuck with me. So anyways, fast forward, and well, rewind and fast forward back to Jeff's story. A Sunday morning, I remember, I was lying in the bed with Harrison, as I normally do. And Natalia had to go to work. And Like, I was in an all-out sleep. I had just visited Uncle Jeff the night before at the hospital. And I'm a nurse, so I know how things progress in the hospital, what conditions are co-associated with one another, you know, what to expect in the course of a hospitalization. So Natalia wakes me up gently and says, "Hey, Bri." I said, and I, you know, get my bearings. I said, "Yeah, honey." She said, she's like, "Are you awake?" She's like, I got some sad news about your Uncle Jeff." I said, what, wait, what's going on?" She says, "Well, before you get upset," she's like, "know that he's in the right place right now." I said, "Okay, what happened?" She said, "He had a stroke." I said, "What? A stroke?" She said, "Yeah, but don't worry, he's in intervention right now. They're working on him right now." I said, "Okay." So she finishes getting ready and I start praying for my Uncle Jeff. Harrison kind of wakes up with the rumble. I don't know if he heard what his mom said or not. But what I do remember is Harrison's a little bit of a wild guy if you ever met him. We joke that he's my dad and me reincarnated. Like, he is all boy and he's just a lot of energy. But there's these times of like wonder that he'll just out of nowhere calm himself. And he looked at me before I got the call back about Jeff's status. He looked at me and smiled real big. He said, "Dad, Uncle Jeff's feeling better." And I was like, what makes you say that, buddy?" He's like, "He's feeling better." I said, "Oh, okay, good, I'm glad." A few minutes later, I get the call. The surgery was a success, praise the Lord. And the intervention did what it was supposed to do. It restored blood flow to Uncle Jeff's brain. Now it left a little artifact behind. But I've taken care of people post-stroke, and it can be, you know, debilitating and life-changing. And it was life-changing for Uncle Jeff. But as you can see him there, he's looking better and great. You know, and again, the Lord's been kind of exposing me to love in a different perspective than I think I've ever experienced. And, you know, I see a lot going on around me that, again, just makes me think, are we just defaulting to hate, hatred, and finger pointing and blame, you know, artifacts of the fall? But I'm encouraged when God floods me with love, seeing the love that my Aunt Jewel and Uncle Jeff had for one another through this very trying time has been an enormous godsend to me. So, without further ado, Aunt Deb, you ready to read your scripture? She was wondering where I was going with this. I'll tie it in.
I can't math, but I'm a good reader, so I guess that's
I know, you're a bookworm like my mom.
You scared me when you started off somewhere else. Okay, this is first chapter of Luke, starting at the fifth verse. "There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed. Because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them, and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And in the 6th month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered unto the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. Ye have filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house.
So, yeah, thank you, Debbie. That was beautifully read. So, to paraphrase, so an angel of the Lord came to Zacharias. Zacharias. And then he didn't believe what Gabriel had to say. And so Gabriel tied his tongue. And Joel was mentioning that she just so happened to read through this shortly after Jeff had his stroke. And with Uncle Jeff's stroke, he's had some speech deficits that he's working through, and he's come a long way. And he's continuing each time I see him almost, and I see him almost every day. So we just thought it was interesting that both of us kind of were pointed to this scripture around the same time. It might have been her that pointed it to me, but and then to think through that the Immaculate Birth, and honestly, I think a lot of times the birth of John the Baptist gets forgotten because a lot of the focus is on Christ. But it just reminded me again that they were of the same lineage and they were cousins, which I got a lot of cousins that I love a lot. So it just, I don't know, something spoke to me there. But I guess, the Lord had orchestrated the conception of both John the Baptist, who was there to prepare the way for Jesus. And he went into the wilderness and he went to prepare the way of the Lord. And, and he was telling the people, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And they had no idea during that generation that he wasn't saying near like way off in the future. He was talking, the kingdom of God is coming, it's here. And, my good friend Aaron here, he and I, we go way back. I went through a really traumatic psychological time through COVID and all the lockdown state. And Aaron really was instrumental in getting me through that, along with my Aunt Jewel and a lot of other people that just wrapped me in love. But Aaron and I, we go way back. I mean, back even further than his young boys. I mean, we played together when I was less than a year old. And we have remained friends, close friends throughout the years. Now we've gone our ways and made our lives, but we've always been able to pick up right where we left off. And God has blessed me with a friend like Aaron. And like all other men, we're just that get in their 40s, we just like grumbling and complaining, and we like to challenge each other's assertions. And we know how each other think, but we like to challenge each other's assertions. And I remember that one of the things, Aaron was in the military for quite some time, and military's rough. I mean, he can tell you more about that, but you have to go through boot camp, you have to go through all this training, and you really have to sacrifice your entire life to serve the country. And to say it, pardon my language, but to say it bluntly, it sucks. It's hard, it's physically demanding, it's mentally demanding. But I think Aaron went through that, and in a way he used that strength to help coach me through a very difficult time in my life. But one thing he said, they had a slogan in the military. It was, embrace the suck. Okay, comes a little harsh off the tongue, but it's actually, if you really think about it, it is what you need to do to get to survive and get through that in any type of meaningful way. Because if you're reacting and responding to everything that happens, you're not going to be a soldier. You can't be. You'll break down. But anyway, so Aaron and I, you know, we talk a lot, and you know, Aaron's so rational. He's a high-ranking police officer for Cincinnati Police Department, and very rational. So he talks to a lot of people, right? So he's and don't get in an argument with him because you'll lose. You'll just lose. But he. him and I, as we were talking over coffee one morning a few months ago, you know, Aaron and I were talking about, like, you know, our new perspective and how to proceed with our lives in a productive and meaningful way, and how to support each other through it, you know. And he gave me some really good feedback, and then, you know, I know that Aaron, with the type of rational sense and his ability to reason much deeper than what I can, as I said earlier, you know, that can get you a little bit distracted away from where you can and should be. So, you know, I think with the real message that I want to relay today is one that, you know, I want to share the insights that my good friend Aaron and I shared with one another. And I said, well, Aaron, I think everything you're saying is correct. I said, I can't find a logical flaw or fallacy in what you're saying. But I said, I think you're missing one thing. He's like, oh yeah, what's that? I said, I think you're forgetting the love part. And I could tell that he immediately embraced that, you know, he immediately started thinking. I could see when Aaron's wheels are turning in his head, and you know, like he had to embrace the suck in the military, we need to embrace the love and the grace that God showed us as we approach this Lent, as we go through this Lent season, and as we approach and remember the great sacrifice which God gave himself up for us. And why he did. It's, we really, really, I think I would encourage everybody to embrace that grace that we talked about at the beginning with the first verse that I read. That for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's nothing we can do that can earn that grace. It was given freely and in love. And until we will embrace that grace and embrace that love and truth, we'll find ourselves fighting the same battles over and over again. And I think that What we really, really should pray today is that we begin to embrace that everlasting love. So I would challenge everyone today, and as they go throughout their life this week, the following weeks, reflect upon that love and that grace and embrace it. It was a gift, nothing you can earn, nothing you can pay penance for. It's something that was given to by our Creator to us in love. So that's really the essence of what I wanted to say today. Now, Oscar, I will correct you in your introductory. I'm sorry. I'm weird when I. But I think Oscar was a little sleepy when I was talking to him. But actually, what I was telling him was actually what Brother Roy Ralph had prophesied to me many years ago. He said, he told me that my conversion wasn't going to be one of urgency or quickness, but it was going to happen over time, but it was going to be a meaningful one. And as I trust God, as my angel tells me, I'm really realizing that prophecy was probably spot on for my life. And I just wanted, in these trying times, to just somberly deliver you a reminder of that foundationary love by that verse that we've heard 1,000 times. But really think about it. Take the time to pause and think about what that's all about and how big of a gift that was. And I say gift very specifically for, and I pray that your works will follow in love behind that. Oscar, I'll hand over to you to wrap us up here if you like. Thank you guys. Love you guys.
Praise the Lord. Told me that he had had a talk with somebody down there, I don't know if it was Aaron, and that he was going to come back and be the youth group leader of the church. Ah, you remember telling me that? That's what I was referring to.
Aaron told me that I told him one time that I was going to be a youth pastor.
That's what you
told
I wasn't asleep. I just want you to know. Yeah. Well, you just were fulfilling what God said when he said, go and replenish the earth. That's all.
Yeah,
all right. You've done your part. Okay. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, he has a youth group there.
Maybe that's what I was talking about.
Yeah, I think Sister Audrey, didn't Sister Audrey say something about you? Bring all these kids to church and we'll have a youth group.
I told her I was speaking and she said she was going to come.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's here in spirit. She's here in spirit. Praise the Lord.
Now I was like, oh, how am I going to get her?
Praise the Lord. Well, Father, I thank you, Rod. I thank you for you even calling me and telling me that you wanted to speak. And, you know, we've always been good around here about opening the door to anybody who has a word from the Lord, and I appreciate, love is the most important thing. You know, Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, and the new commandment was that you love one another as I've loved you. You know, and if you do the love, it fulfills all the law and the prophets, and that's really the gist of it. But Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you all praise, all glory, all honor. I ask you to bless our brother and just keep pouring yourself through him and giving him words and just open him up, Father. Let your anointing rest on him. And I ask you to just bless all the people here. Let them go forth from this assembly today and just know that they've been in the presence of Jesus, because where two or more are gathered, there am I in the midst of them. And I thank you, Father, and I give you all praise and glory. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day.